back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively doing something we've never done before. It is all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. Window Nation's giving me a hat. I told them the visor I will wear. I am appreciative of all that, and we're giving some lottery tickets away. We are at the land of Kush. I've had so many people tell me about this place. I lived downtown all these years. I like veggies, so I'm not anti-vegetarian or anti-vegan or any of that. But we're here today. We have some great, great guests, and it's taken a little while, and I have yet to have the vegan crab cake, so don't ask me about it till I'm done. Brooke Learman's here. She is running for controller, and out of the 46, right? These city districts and stuff, I'm always trying to figure out now who's the councilman in this place or that. And I've just washed up. We're all in Baltimore together.
We are.
And you're running for a state title here, so this is fertile territory. How's it going? How's the campaign?
It's great. I love it. It's been really wonderful getting all over the state, meeting people from every corner. This past weekend, we were in Western Maryland at the Western Maryland Democratic Summit, where I won the straw poll, which was exciting.
I heard this. This was a big deal.
It was fun.
Right?
Yeah, it was really exciting.
And where in Western Maryland is that?
It was at Rocky Gap. Which also is beautiful, great camping.
First day of the Crab Cake Tour, August 1st, we're going to Rocky Gap. You know why? I pulled in to go to the bathroom, and it was stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, it's an amazing space.
I walked in there and said, we're coming back here.
Yeah, it's an amazing space. It's beautiful. My family's been camping there, and it's great. And then the next day, we were on the Eastern Shore in Easton for an event. And so, you know, and I live here in Baltimore, of course, so we get all over the state. It's been great fun. I love it. Yep.
All right, so campaigning and doing this and dreaming it up and getting... We're getting closer now.
Getting close.
Now, they kept moving the finish line.
Getting close.
Right? They kept moving the finish
now
line.
Now it stopped. Now it stopped. So
we have a date now. We have a target. So from a campaign perspective, first question first, you're walking the state. What are people saying to you? What are you hearing from people? Why are they going to vote for you or not vote for you?
Yeah. No, we've had great, you know, I think one of the number one thing is that people are really excited to learn about the possibility and the potential of the comptroller's office, right? You know, it's not just a tax collector, right? It can do so much. And so we talk about, you know, helping small businesses, making sure that the Board of Public Works that the comptroller is a member of and which is responsible for spending all our money and approving contracts, making sure that we are getting best value, you know, that we're really using our taxpayer dollars and the federal money to build out our Black-owned businesses, support, you know, Maryland-based businesses and firms. And so people are really excited to hear about what the comptroller does and what the office can do. And, you know, we talk a lot about some of the challenges that people have been having over the past few years. And I don't just mean, you know, infant formula not being on the shelves. It's, you know, people have had trouble contacting the unemployment office or challenges starting small businesses during the pandemic, access to capital, you know, employers having trouble finding employees. You know, there's so much going on. And so people are, you know, I've loved building connections and talking with people about how government can really be a force for good, right? A force to help eliminate barriers, be a partner, and actually create opportunity. And so I've been having wonderful conversations with people all over the state of Maryland.
Well, it's nice to meet you. I know you through Zoom, and I know of your work.
Yep.
There was a day we were trying to get together over to Chaucer about 6-7 months ago. This is an interesting place. First things first, I'm trying to do minority-owned businesses and local places that wouldn't be top of mind. I mean, I said to you before we even started the show, you love Fadley's. Everybody knows Fadley's. It's sort of top of mind, and we go there all the time, and
Cocoa's
we take people there. Sure, and Brandon likes Cocoa's, and we're going to go over there in July and do it again with Marcella. But then there are places that need help, right, and new businesses, especially new businesses that maybe got their sea legs under them back in 17, 18, 19.
Yep.
And then, boom, this thing hits.
Yeah, it's been really it's been devastating to so many restaurants, and, you know, I think I and my fellow electeds, we worked really hard during the pandemic. You know, I brought World Central Kitchen into Baltimore. And in addition to giving out thousands of meals at schools, one of the things we did was we connected World Central Kitchen to some of our Black-owned and immigrant-owned businesses, small restaurants here in the city. World Central Kitchen paid them by the meal, and then those meals they distributed to nonprofits to give out for free to people around the city. So for instance, Mira Kitchen Collective, owned by and run by immigrants, they and Alma Cocina Latina. They made food.
Love Alma.
Right, they're
I'm a Venezuelan.
Huge. Yes, there you
absolutely.
Go. So they made food, gave it out to Casa de Maryland, gave it out to the Greater Baybrook Alliance, distributed to people in need. And that was a way to keep, help some restaurants at least from going under.
Well, you feel business is vested. They keep,
totally.
The kitchen stays open.
Yep.
They know.
Workers are still there.
Government
supply chain.
They know people are going to come together.
Yep.
And that's what we needed. That's why we're all still here.
I mean,
as divisive as all of this is, we're all still here because...
Yeah, we support one another.
We're trying. We're trying.
And I will say Land of Kush, you know, they're amazing. In addition to having great food, they're also very community-minded. They're often doing, fundraising events for the school, one of the schools in my area. The parents are very involved. So, you know, these kinds of small businesses really... They build community, right? They make it wonder. They
well,
make
we'll
Baltimore.
Right behind us here all day. We've been here an hour. Everybody's coming in.
Exactly. It's doing great. And this is the kind of place that makes Baltimore such a special place.
My wife found out we're coming to Land of Kush first thing in the morning. I'm literally brushing my teeth, 7 o'clock in the morning. She's in reading the menu off her pad. She's like, get the yams. We got to get some.
Yams are good. The spinach is good.
I want to be clear. Now, your handlers, and Mueller will love that because he knows how I love handlers.
I have a pretty small and scrappy team.
But they called and they wanted preview this and that, and they're like, listen, Brooke's not a vegetarian, she's a pescatarian.
I'm a pescatarian, yeah.
So they made that clear that
okay.
And you made it clear to me, you're like, I go to Fadley's, I eat crab cakes.
Yeah.
But
they're good here. I mean, the crab cakes here, I will say, if you didn't know and you put them up against some other ones, you'd be surprised.
I haven't tasted it yet.
I think people would have a tough time telling. They do a pretty good job.
Well, Theroux's coming next hour. I got Kirby Fowler coming. Odette Ramos is also
she's also good friend,
has recommended here.
Yep.
She couldn't make it today, so we'll get her on another day, but so many people have told me about this place.
It's a great place.
And they said, well, I think Theroux, I'm vegan. Land of Kush. And Gertrude's is another place that has a vegan crab cake.
They do have a vegan crab cake.
So next time around,
it's very good.
Well, I'm going to drag Odette over there. She doesn't know it yet, but she got business at 4 o'clock today.
Yeah.
So for you with running for office and your background, for anybody in the audience who doesn't know anything about you,
sure.
And this meet you on the street, some would say she's not from around here. Background on you and how you got involved, because when you talk about working with people, this is who you are. I think it's pretty obvious to anybody that you're sort of meant to do this work, whether you win or lose, you're going to serve people, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've been involved in public servants my entire life. You know, when I got to college, was really appalled to see the disparity between what was happening on my beautiful, idyllic campus in New Hampshire and a public housing development just a couple miles away. So worked with friends and we started a mentoring organization working with the kids there. You know, after I went to law school then, loved being an advocate. And for the past 10 years, I've been a civil rights attorney representing wrongfully convicted people, doing housing cases, representing people with disabilities like the National Federation of the Blind that's here in Baltimore, and representing low-wage workers all over the state and country. So love doing this work. But you're right. I like to say I'm not from Baltimore, but I got here as fast as I could. And, my husband and I settled in Fells Point where we still live.
Why? Well, give me the best. Like, I always... I'm from here. I'll probably never leave.
Yeah. Well, I was born in D.C., raised in Montgomery County, and I went away for a long time to school and work and worked on campaigns and did AmeriCorps. And there was just something about Baltimore. I was fortunate enough to get a federal clerkship here, and it just... it got under my skin, and love how people, they want you to be here. It's so easy to get involved and make a difference, and really people feel so connected to their communities. And I loved the people I met and the culture and the restaurants and the small businesses. And so really fell in love. My husband did too. And so we've made our home here, raising our two kids here. I have a third grader at our local public school and, got involved first in the Red Line. I was a big Red Line supporter in my neighborhood association.
Oh, we've talked to Uncle Larry about that. Believe me, that's come up.
Yep. Yeah. And then, decided that I wanted to do more. And so threw my hat in to run for state delegate in 2014. Knocked on 14,000 doors, got out there and was really excited to win. And so for 8 years, I've been serving as a state delegate, being a leader for the city, at the state level on broadband, on community-based gun violence prevention, on public school funding, on transit, and supporting our small businesses.
Well, let's talk about, you said something that's a hot button, right? I mean, when I talk to electeds in the city, it's crime, right? I mean,
it's terrible.
What's being done? You're on the inside of this, and... I mean, there was a tragedy last week at a location that I've eaten in many, many times. in South Baltimore. I know the victim. I've ordered mac and cheese there. I was setting up a crab cake tour there because I wanted to have her crab cake. And it breaks me up talking about it.
It's terrible.
Everybody knows someone now.
Yeah, everybody does. It's terrible, and it's so unacceptable. And I think, you know, the mayor and the police commissioner are working. Today they announced new initiatives because we are understaffed on the police. They announced new initiatives to make sure that our police are actually able to do the work of tracking down some of the people who are doing this. But look, I think it's also really essential. It's essential we have the police doing what they need to do, and we support that. But it's also really essential that we do this community-based violence prevention beforehand so that it doesn't get to that, which includes, you know, really investing in making sure that Safe Streets is living up to its potential, investing in our hospital-based gun intervention programs, investing in things like ROCA, right? Their office is just up the street. They're doing great work. But, you know, sometimes the problem in Baltimore, I think, is that we don't scale these programs. You know, they work well one place, but then they're not big enough to get everywhere.
Well, we've heard individual successes.
Right, exactly. Sure, yeah. But you need to multiply that. Like, it's not just successful for Safe Streets to work in Cherry Hill, where I represent. It needs to be successful in multiple communities around the city. And so I'm glad to see a lot of the ARPA dollars going to help really build up these efforts. I authored legislation with Senator Joe Carter to create this first state-based funding for those types of programs as well a number of years ago. So the state was actually putting money in to these community-based gun violence prevention programs that have real records of success. I mean, this is evidence-based work that we're doing. We're not just, you know, I don't want to throw, you know, just good money away. We want it to work. We want to be saving lives and preventing violence. I mean, what's happening in Baltimore is tragic and absolutely unacceptable, and we have to get it in a hand because we can never be the city that we need to be if we continue this bloodshed. It's terrible.
Brooke Learman's here. We're at the land of Kush. We're going to have a vegan crab cake before it's all over with. Not in this segment. I had some delicious salad over there before we got started. But for you with Controller, and we talk about all these things with children, families, mothers, advocates, minority issues, all of these issues, how does Controller play into that? Because it feels to me like sort of above the fray, the money manager, somebody like you should be rolling your sleeves up and doing groundwork and not, how is this groundwork? Because I know you put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, no,
and this is a lane that isn't mayor or governor or maybe other things people thought you would be in that lane.
Right. Look, I think how we spend our money is what matters in government, right? Our tax dollars, we need to make sure that we have leaders in the comptroller's office and in state government who understand how to spend our money in a way that builds success and prosperity for every community. And, you know, I've been a leader on the Appropriations Committee in our state house. I chair the Joint Committee on Pensions, so I understand our investments, our $70 billion investment
That's
fund.
All.
Yeah, just a little. 415,000 state retirees. You know, our $50 billion budget I helped oversee as a leader on the Appropriations Committee. And so I know and I understand just how uniquely situated the comptroller is to really tackle some of the economic challenges and the income-based issues that are confronting families and small businesses around the state. So I'm excited to bring sort of a bold new vision for that office and make sure that the resources of the office are really reaching our communities and families and our small businesses around the state.
Well, I don't need an attack on Peter Franchot, but how about what could we do better? Where's pork? Where's fat? Where are we getting it wrong?
Sure. I don't know that it's necessarily about getting it wrong. I think it's just, you know, everybody brings their perspective. And, of course, there has not been an open seat for state comptroller since 1998.
That's all.
It's been a while.
Well, I mean, the term limits and where we are, all of these issues,
it's been a
right?
long time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think, you know, it's really about building on what's been done. You know, modernizing our systems to make it easier to start a small business. I was just talking to a friend who started a new business during the pandemic. And he said, look, I'm a lawyer. I understand how to use the internet. I could not figure out how to pay my $74 you know, fee that I needed to pay to like start this business. It's so complicated, right? We need to lower barriers to make it easier to support our entrepreneurs. We need to make sure, you know, last year the General Assembly passed the largest expansion of the earned income tax credit in America. But, you know, like the EITC is huge for working families, but thousands of families don't know that it's owed to them, right? So we need the comptroller's office, who does know, to be forthcoming, you know, to be more proactive and to get that money to people, whether they know that they should be claiming it or not, right? So I think there's so much that we need to tackle in terms of economic inequality and the state in the state and the racial wealth divide. And the comptroller's office, if the comptroller isn't focused on that, then I don't know who is. So we really need to have leaders there who are working. I'm excited to be there to bring people together to tackle some of these challenges, especially now. I mean, we have this incredible opportunity because the federal government is spending more money and sending more money to Maryland.
Well, this is an unintended sort of blessing of COVID after the storm,
right? I mean, it's incredible.
Right?
You know, the
infrastructure
bill. And
what we do with it is going to impact the next 2 decades.
Right,
really.
I mean, so I always say, you know, we have the opportunity over the next 4 years to make Maryland better for the next 40. And it's because of this infrastructure money that's going to be coming to the state, you know, for roads, for transit, for schools, for broadband, you know, our water infrastructure. There's just so much that we can be doing. So we got to make sure we get it right. And the comptroller's office is central to that.
They hit the lights.
They did.
We're looking. That means
back.
We need to take a break.
Yeah.
I think. Brooke Learman's here. We're all here courtesy of the Maryland Lottery. Do I have a Betty Boop ticket? Chloe, my new intern. I got to show everybody the Betty Boop tickets. She's too busy giving them away. Also, our friends at Window Nation and Goodwill. I've been spending weekends cleaning things and moving things out. And Lisa Rosiniak was on this week talking about jobs programs, talking about the Excel Center that they're building down there. So we're doing good things. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour.
Yep.
We're downtown. We're at the Land of Kush. Next segment, it's going to be my first vegan crab cake.
Nice.
I don't even know what's in it, but I'm going to ask Greg. And
I'm
going to ask them what's in it a little later on. I had Susan stop by. We had Lister stop by. We've been giving away Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. We have Adley Rutschman fever. Believe me, we do.
Yes, we do.
Look. Are you? You're one of those?
I'm a big O's fan. Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk.
Born and raised.
And I know the Springsteen thing. We got to get in. So we're going to have crab cake, Orioles, Springsteen, and more controller talk, and probably some 46 updates as well. Brooke Learman's here. She's running for controller. I am here. I'm running for the hills. I don't know. It's it's summertime in the city. We're going to be doing a lot of Maryland crab cake tours all over the city. And then, of course, we're doing 31 crab cakes in 31 days. And this year, I got thirsty last August when I did 30. I've decided to add breweries.
Oh, nice.
Year. So we're going to do 31 breweries. That's August. That's all coming. I'm Nestor. We're back for more. We're Brooke Learman. We are at the Land of Kush downtown. Stay with us. It's BaltimorePositive.com.